and that is T.R. Miller, Bruton, Alabama's finest, Walter Lewis. Mr. Lewis, we really are honored to be joined by you tonight. Thank you for taking the time.
Hey, thank you for even thinking about having me on. It's a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, sir. And, you know, Thomas and I, Thomas is a little bit younger than myself. I will date myself. I'm a 1994 Huntsville High graduate, and then I attended the university in the late 90s. Thomas is, of course, a graduate in the mid-2000s. As I became a diehard Tide fan was toward the end of your career with the Crimson Tide. But we wanted to kind of, first of all, have you tell our listeners about your career because you were came along at a very interesting time near the end of, of course, the legendary run of Coach Paul Bear Bryant, and you were there for the end of his career and one of the biggest wins in the history of the program, the Liberty Bowl win over Illinois, and then you were able to kind of transition to a different style of offense but still were very productive under Coach Ray Perkins.
Absolutely. First of all, it's a pleasure having an opportunity to play under Coach Bryant. I know when I was being recruited by him in the University of Alabama, I actually turned him down. he came to my house and he asked me some questions relative to always having a goal of playing in the red jersey, and I told him that I didn't. I said I never watched Alabama very much coming along. I always watched USC or Ohio State or whatever for various reasons. I also told him that I had a preference of playing professional ball. That's kind of what I always dreamed of doing. So when I committed to him, I felt like I was in hot water because I turned him down the first time, when he visited my home. So it's been a definite pleasure. It was a definite pleasure playing for him and being able to perform in front of the fans and be a part of the Alabama Nation.
Yeah, I know it was, Walter, and talk about that when you because I was talking to one of my best friends in this business, and he's a vaunted historian of the game, and of course his name's Rodney Orr of TiderInsider.com, and he has a memory unlike any other that I've ever talked with about and it's interesting because he grew up in he was born in Alabama, but he spent most of his childhood and adulthood or early adulthood in Texas. So, but he knows a lot about your career, and he said you have to ask Walter this when you talk with him tonight. His favorite play of your career was actually in a game that Alabama lost, and that was the Cotton Bowl against Texas. And he said, Drew, you've got to go Google the play he made to put Alabama up 7-0. And he kind of wanted you to kind of relive that play for us tonight.
I'm gonna try to relive that play, but can you give me some background on that? Because he's got me caught off guard here as it relates to what play he's talking about specifically. There, I don't mind elaborating on it. I'm just trying to figure out which one it is.
Absolutely, he talked about how it was a play where you kind of had to improvise and you scrambled. And he said you had to go back, it seemed 20 to 25 yards, and you were surrounded by Texas defenders, and you threw off your back foot and completed the pass to Jesse Bendrose. I believe he said it put Alabama up 7-0.
I think I can elaborate on that play. Jesse. I think it was Preston Gothard, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember all the improvising all, but I do remember this. I was probably 2 days late throwing that pass, and Texas had every opportunity to make the interception, and for whatever reasons they did not, and Preston was backing into the end zone and actually caught it, and we scored. And I remember, and I cannot say on this podcast tonight what Coach Bryant had to say. But it was very interesting, I remember very vividly the words that came out of his mouth. He told me I was lucky, and that's as far as I'm going to go. that was a great time. And like I said, Coach Bryant was very good at one-liners, and he knew how to get your attention when your attention need gotten. You know, and that was a time during that game my attention, you know, may have had to, you know, be gotten at that point, you know, because it was a tough game with Texas, and unfortunately we lost the game. And there's a lot of stories behind that game as it relates to me and what went on prior to the game and what went on during the game. It's just a lot that transpired during that Texas game.
Yeah, and Rodney was telling me, he said, really, he was Alabama's nearly entire offense that day. He said he was tremendous, and he talked about how the skill set you brought to the quarterback position as far as how strong a runner you were. He said you were very physical and gave Texas a lot of problems in that contest. And, of course, Rodney, being from Texas, he takes those losses very hard because he was still mm-hmm. living – and I believe he was at the time, maybe he had was still living in Texas or had just moved to this to the southeast. But yeah, there was nothing Rodney liked better than Alabama. One of the finest moments of his tenure owning Tider Insider. Trust me, there was nobody happier than when Alabama beat Texas in 2009, because he had to hear about it a lot.
Absolutely,
because Alabama always seemed to come up just short against the Longhorns.
Well, let me just say this about Rodney. I've had a chance to visit with him a couple times, but he does an they do an amazing job with Tider Insider. I don't listen to the show mostly, but I do keep up with what the news that he brings to the table. But my hat's off to him with that concept. I think that's a great concept to give people, fans, information relative to what's going on with the football team and recruiting and all that goes on. I think that's an outstanding idea and an outstanding thing that he and his group are doing with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I appreciate that. I contribute to Tider Insider. It is a very fine website. And Walter, we wanted to ask you too, just to wrap your career, I know you were privileged to play for Coach Bryant, but talk about the transition you had playing under Coach Perkins, and you had a really fine year under him as a senior, but talk about was it difficult transitioning from the more of a wishbone attack to the pro style?
Well, to be honest with you, when Ray came in, and you know, I basically resisted the transition to a certain degree. But I didn't understand the concept that he was bringing to the table. But Ray was an outstanding coach. I mean, I talked with him a couple of weeks ago, and I just told him, I said, man, you were good, you know. But what Coach Perkins did with me the summer before our season got going in the fall, I went up into his office. Or it may have been the spring before we had our first spring practice. I can't remember exactly the time frame, but I went in his office. He said, Walter, he said, look, you know, you all ran the wishbone. He said, guess what? Y'all ran the triple option, didn't you? He said, I said, yes, sir, we did. He said, you know what? We can run the triple option, you know, throwing the football. And he drew it up. And he said, you got this option here, you got this option here, you got this option here. You see, it's a triple option. You know, in terms of how, and just him thinking of that concept and blending it to what I had been accustomed to, because you know, my junior year I was beginning to master the wishbone, and then going into my senior year, you know, I wanted to perfect it, and that's where the resistance came in. I wanted to perfect it, and I felt like that was taken away. But Ray came in, and he did an outstanding job taking me under his wing and helping me to believe in the concepts that he was bringing there. And you mentioned earlier about the dual threat or a quarterback that
right.
you know, was doing a lot of things differently. What Ray and Dave Rader and the staff and they did for me is they put me in positions to where I could be successful and and doing things that I could do. And Ray understood the abilities that I had. He did, you know, some coaches will limit you because they don't know how to coach a player that has ability. You know, because if they've never been there, how can they share that experience with a player to help him to see, you know how to get it done? Great coaches are coaches that can take a player where he is, take what he has ability wise, and put it to work. And that's, you know, that's you look at every great coach, he has that quality. And that was something that Coach Bryant was able to do. We didn't run the straight wishbone. They split it out. They put put wing backs in where we could go motion. And, he developed, he and Coach Moore developed a concept to where I could throw the ball but also be a dual threat in terms of running as well. And that had an impact. It may have had an impact on how offenses begin to perform, during that time. So I'm just happy to have, to have the opportunity to do so.
And then you were able to play in the USFL with the Memphis Showboats and in the CFL with the Montreal Alouettes. Do you think transitioning to more of a passing attack and being able to show your ability to throw the football, throwing for nearly 2,000 yards as a senior, do you think that Coach Perkins helping you transition led to your pro career?
That did help me have an opportunity mm-hmm. there with the Memphis Showboats there, being able to transition. That was a big help. I often go back and think about it. I wish I would have had another year under Coach Perkins
mm-hmm.
to be able to master all the techniques as it relates to calls and understanding the fronts and how to put your players in the best position to be successful offensively. That's what I missed. And going to a franchise like the Memphis Showboats, being in its infancy, it wasn't much time for that concept to be taught, there. So I had to learn on the run, and I wish I would have had another year on the perk to be able to get all those little logistical things taken care of. Because when you get on that level, athletic ability is great, but when you can put it mm-hmm. put all the techniques together in terms of how you go about the philosophy of the game, coupled with your athletic ability, that's when you're able to be successful as a quarterback. And I can give you an example of today of just that, and that's Cam Newton with the Carolina Panthers. Cam's a great athlete. Mike Shula has done an outstanding job, blowing up the picture for him so he can see it. And therefore, if he can see it, he can get it, and he can take – his God-given abilities and exploit defenses physically as well as mentally. There. My hat's off to Mike. Mike was on the sideline with me as a freshman when I was a senior, and he mm-hmm. was what he's doing with Cam Newton right now is he was my extended arm on the sideline. There as a player. Mm-hmm. There even at that age, he had an IQ to where he understood, and he understood how to communicate it, and he could communicate it to me on the sideline, there. But Cam Newton is a perfect example of a coach taking that player and blowing the picture up so he can see the full scope of the game and then exploit the abilities that you have physically as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Lewis, you've talked a lot about your career. Could you have a favorite moment from your time in Tuscaloosa, whether when you were playing or when you were coaching on the team?
let's see. As a player, a favorite time for me, people don't realize this. I had a lot of great games. My freshman year was a great Auburn game was a very good game for me in terms of getting out there and playing. But I'm going to tell you, the bowl season at Alabama, when you came back to school and you didn't have classes and stuff, that was a time where I really had a chance to bond with players, because we go out and do stuff, that we really didn't have the time to do when we were playing during the season. And bowl time was a fun time for me. You go out and you bowl, and you go out and eat together, and you spend a lot of time together, get to know each other on a personal level. Those were special times for me as a player there at the University of Alabama. And then as a coach, as a coach, having coached there in 89, some of the best times for me were coaching, the Saran Stacys, Kevin Turner, the late Kevin Turner, those guys, Pierre Goode, some of the discipline I had to put on them, that was fun, challenging those guys to become what they were able to become, as players there. So those were fun times as a coach and as a player.
Yeah, that's some of the favorites of my era, Saran Stacy, and, of course, Kevin Turner, still my favorite fullback of all time. But Walter, we wanted to also ask you about what you've seen from Nick Saban and what he's been able to build at Alabama. And, of course, you had the unique opportunity to play for Coach Bryant near the end, of course, with one of the most historic runs in college football now, Coach Saban. Not many people ever thought someone could approach Coach Bryant, but Coach Saban's run has been remarkable, and you've been able to see it as an alumnus of the university. Talk about what he's built and what you think of Coach Saban and the job that he's done.
Well, let me say this. You know, I love what Coach Saban is doing. You know,
right.
There's a special ingredient to being a great coach, and every great coach has it. And I was privileged to be under Coach Bryant. He had all the ingredients of the great coach. You know, and Nick Saban, when I first met Nick, was when he came down there. You know, I had a chance to listen to him talk, and you know what? He was saying the same thing that Coach Bryant said. He may have said it differently, but you know what I have observed in his you know how he coaches and I've looked at great coaches. You know, there's one formula to winning. I can't sit here and tell you exactly what that formula is, but if you're around a great coach, you know it when you see it. And Nick Saban has it, you know. Coach Bryant has it, and I hope that he's able to coach long enough to succumb, you know, Coach Bryant's record in terms of national championship. I hope that happens because he is very deserving. You know, this year, I mean, this time in coaching, in terms of restrictions that you have, and what Coach Saban has had to master in order to be able to sustain himself, you know. You know that it's outstanding, you know, there to see what he's done as it relates to the type player he's having to coach, how he's adapted to the ways, and he still won. You know, Coach Bryant could recruit all the players he wanted to recruit when he was in there, but Nick is limited to 30, and hey, he's done it with 30. You know, and hey, I mean that's unheard of, and he's been consistent about it. You know, the process that he talks about, every great coach has a process, and that's a part of winning. You know, that's what I see. Every player, every coach, they speak the same language. If you sit and listen to interviews, everybody's saying the same thing. And to be successful at that spot in terms of coaching, you know, it's not one coach saying this, it's not one player saying that. Everybody speaks the same tune. That's what went on there with the University of Alabama when Bear Bryant was there. I experienced it, and I'm privileged to be able to have experienced that.
And you know, Mr. Lewis, we have in our first hour, we have William Redfish Barger on the program to talk Alabama as well.
Okay.
He told us, we're going to put you on the spot, he told us to ask you about an interaction that the three of y'all that you two had with Miss Terry Saban when Nick came a few, you know, almost 10 years ago now. Can I put you on the spot and get that story out of you?
Well, you know what? You know what? I'm getting older now, and my memory is not what it used to be. And you know what? That day when Nick came, I met Terry, but you know, I can't exactly remember exactly what he's talking about. You're going to have to give it to him because it was so much going on and a lot of stuff said. What Barger may have thought was something big, I may have thought it was something small, you know. So yeah. I have no clue what William's talking about. What is he talking about?
Well, he just said you guys had some fun with Terry Saban and enjoyed being there. And he actually told us that the ironic part is that's the last time he saw you personally. Because he did tell us that you were on the coaching staff when he played for the university in 1989.
Absolutely.
And you were coaching the running backs.
Uh-huh.
And he said, yeah, he was one of my favorite people. And he said, yeah, we got a chance. He goes, we were both there, and we got a chance to spend some quality time. And he just said it was one of his favorite memories because he enjoyed playing under you at the university and thought you were a class act. And we just wanted to kind of he said, just remind him that's the last time I saw Walter was when Nick Saban. He said, and look where that led. He said he played for Coach Bryant, and we got a chance to see Coach Saban come along, and now we've seen what he's done. And now to transition, Walter, I wanted to ask you about the current team, and they've got a 4-man battle for the quarterback position, and three of those guys are bring a lot of athletic ability to the table like you did to the position. And one thing I wanted to ask you too, do you ever go back and now look at the way college football has evolved and wonder how your skill set would be in today's game? Because I got to tell you, people that I've talked to think you would be a superstar in today's game.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you asked that question. I talked with the late Homer Smith back before he got sick, and I didn't ask him this. He just told me, Walter, he said, if you had been playing in the offenses that they have today, he said, it would have been very interesting. You've been an outstanding player. And then I actually talked with Ray Perkins, probably 2 or 3 months ago, and I asked him, I said, Coach, I said, you know, sometimes, you know, I sit and I wonder, you know, would my game transform to this? You know, he said, Walter, he said, absolutely. Absolutely. Your game would have been, been outstanding in what's going on now in the college sport and also on the professional level. He said, Homer Smith said, Walter, you were 30 years too soon in terms of the abilities that you had and being able to take, you know, put it to use and see what, one of the things that sticks out in my mind, like I said, you know, people don't understand, fans don't understand how important the coaching aspect of the game is. And being able to draw a picture for a player to where that player can understand that picture and go out there and implement his game within the framework of that picture. You know, they don't understand how important, you know, coaching, the great coaches are able to draw that picture there, and that's so important. And I was very fortunate along the way to get some coaches that could do that. And if you don't find a coach that can actually break it down like that, sometimes, you know, players are not able to overcome that, and they don't get it. They don't make it happen. And, you know, this year in terms of our team right now, you know, we got four quarterbacks down there. And I think all four have the ability to win there at Alabama. And let me tell you why I feel that way. I feel like, you know, that Alabama has a team. You know, it's not just offense. It's offense, defense, and it's special teams. That's one of the things that Nick Saban has built there, to where all facets of the game as a team work, you know, and he has a system there that if those four quarterbacks get in there and they focus, they can make it happen, you know, for the University of Alabama this year. And it's going to be very interesting to see how Lane Kiffin plays in this equation. It's going to be very interesting to see how guys, you know, determine if they want to play that spot. And see, in terms of, I don't know how much time we have, but this is a very interesting subject as it relates to how to get it done. And to be that starting quarterback is kind of like what was going on in San Francisco and California back during the gold rush. You know, people would stake their claim on the land that, you know, so that they can mine for the gold. And see, and they had veins of gold on the ground. You didn't know where the veins were, but you knew gold was there, so you would dig deep, deep down to try to find it. And see, and as a quarterback at Alabama, if you look at it, that quarterback is either going to be under the center or he's going to be five yards deep, you know, in the offenses that they have. Mm-hmm. And that square behind that center is like a 2x2 square. And then, you know, 5 yards deep, it's a 2x2. I mean, 2 feet by 2 feet that they stand in. And it's up to what quarterback wants to stake their claim of that 2x2 foot by 2 foot square in order to be that person there. That's what every quarterback has to do, especially at Alabama, is how bad you want it. How bad do you want to mine for that vein that allows you to be the man or the quarterback there for the university? And all four of those quarterbacks, they'll have that opportunity. Now, if you break them all down, I like Cooper Bateman. He's very athletic there. There are some things that he's going to have to refine from a technique standpoint, in my opinion, for him to be very successful there. I like Cornwell. Cornwell's big guy reminds me of Cliff Stout. I mentioned that on another show a few weeks ago. He has to have that savvy, you know, to go, you know, to do his thing. And then the other one's Blake Barnett. I think I mentioned that he reminds me of Joe Willie in terms of the, you know, the how he carries himself. And you know what? But that can be good and that can be bad, you know, in terms of, you know, just the personality that's there, you know. So he's going to have to take that swagger that he has. He's going to have to put it in a bottle and pour it out when he needs it, you know, and make it work. And then you know, then Jalen Hurts, you know, the young kid from Texas. I don't know, one of you may be able to remember this, but when I was a kid, there was a show that came on, was called The $6 Million Man.
Yeah, I've seen
it. And it
I've
was Lee Majors. But when it would come on, they would say, we're going to make him better, faster, stronger. You know, that's one of the things. Jalen Hurts, let me tell you, to me, just looking at him, he is a better, stronger, faster Walter Lewis as a quarterback.
Wow.
That's what I see in that kid. How he carries himself, how he conducts himself, his athleticism, all those things, that's what I see relative to him. You know, there, you know, so, you know, and he has the demeanor, he has the poise, all those things factor into the equation, you know, there. So from a standpoint of where the quarterback position, I hope they all stay there and kind of work it out in terms of the timing and when they play. But, you know, the future, in my opinion, looks very bright at that position. And, again, I go back to that 2-foot by 2-foot square. It's who's going to stake the claim of that spot and hold it. That's so important in the mindset of a quarterback at Alabama.
And it really is. And, Walter, we really appreciate your time. We've come to the end of the program. We held you for a few more minutes, but it was such an outstanding conversation, and it was such an honor for us to get the thoughts of – one of Alabama's all-time great quarterbacks, and talk about your playing days and the past of the program and where it is now. Fascinating conversation. We really appreciate it. And thank you for joining Thomas Watson, Alabama's Radio, and just reliving some of the great history of Alabama football and also talking about the future. Thank you, sir. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you all for having me on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And roll tide to you, Walter, and we will definitely hopefully speak with you down the road. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, roll tide to you and all. Yes, sir. Thank you.